Please take a moment to open your Bibles and go to Psalm 146. We are truly blessed to have an opportunity to gather together this morning. We have the opportunity to not just see one another again after some time apart. For some of us, just a few days. For some of us, we haven't seen you in a little while. We're happy to see everyone, but that's not the primary purpose of us being here. The primary purpose of us being here is that we have an opportunity to worship the great I Am, the one true and living God, to realize what He has done for us, and His Son likewise, to praise Him for being the Lamb of God, our Savior, and lives today as our King. We are truly a blessed people. Psalm 146, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." We're going to have our monthly song service tonight. It's a song service that takes time. It takes thought. It takes prayer. And it takes planning in order to put it together. Those that work on it put a priority on making it as spiritually beneficial and uplifting as possible. The men who participate in leading the service work to do their best in accomplishing that same goal. It's not a performance. It is a worship service to God. A worship service that is not just an offering to God, but it is of benefit to each and every one of us. Even in a normal service, we spend approximately a third of our assemblies engaged in singing because it provides great spiritual benefit to those that engage in it properly. Christians were taught to respond to the goodness of God in a similar way in James chapter 5 and verse 13 when he said, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." There is something within us that was put there by our Creator that makes us respond in this way. That when we're happy and we're joyful, music tends to be associated with it. We tend to sing. We tend to want to hear music in some form or another. Whether we're talking about those that are followers or not, music is an integral part of every single society on this planet. Everyone has an appreciation of some sort for music. There are indications that make me wonder if somewhere along the way we tend to lose some of the joy of singing. It becomes a rote behavior. It becomes something that we don't value as we should. And so because we're having a song service tonight, I do not want us to ever think that our monthly song service is less important than the morning service or any other Sunday evening service throughout the month. Just because it's a different format, just because we spend a lot of time singing during that, it doesn't take away anything of the value of that service in the eyes of God, nor should it do so in our eyes as well. We need to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of just singing words, not really thinking about those words, not really focusing on what's going on, and having no emotion whatsoever. God intended for us to have emotion associated with singing. Sometimes we see those that may even go further and they just don't bother to sing at all. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that has some physical problem that makes it so that they couldn't sing. We had a dear sister in the faith in Berlin that she reached the point that she could no longer sing. Her just voice just wouldn't work. She couldn't make the variations to try to sing notes at all. If she tried to sing, it would just come out monotone and more like a chant. And that really bothered her. So much so that if you looked at her when we were singing, many times she had tears coming from her eyes. It meant that much to her to be able to sing, yet she couldn't. But she did her best, and she focused on those words. That was very important to her. And she even confided in me and said, "You know, I don't know if I ever put the focus on the words the way that I should have before, but now that I can't sing the notes, that's all I think about. And it has so much more impact." And so we should never make the mistake of relegating singing in our worship services to somehow being less than other things that we do. We've known in times past that it was common for people to travel long distances to attend a service that was devoted to praising God in song. Well, sometimes we have a failure to appreciate the real purpose of singing and really how we get more out of it. But it begins with understanding why we sing. We don't choose songs in our worship service nor in our song service with the intention of just being entertainment. Nor are they intended to pass time. That's not why we sing. I've already mentioned the first one, that we sing in order to praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, Paul and Silas are in prison, and what does it say they were doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. That's a very uncomfortable circumstance. They were in the inner part of the prison. They are locked away in stocks. They've already been beaten. So they're in a pretty crummy situation. But they are singing praises to God. I've heard others say at some point, well, I just don't feel feel like I'm in the mood to really praise God. You don't have to be in the mood. You just have to know your God. And that's the position they were in. I don't think they were in the mood. And when we say that, we mean in a happy, joyful, upbeat mood. No, I don't think they were necessarily in that type of a mood. But they were praying and singing hymns to God. But this idea of praising the Lord is probably the first thing that pops into somebody's head when we're talking about singing. It's the most popular concept when we talk about singing. Indeed, that's really the idea behind the word hymn. It comes from a Greek word, hymnos, which means a song in praise of. So when we say hymns, yes, that's what we're talking about, praising of God. And it should be natural to us as followers and believers of God, that we would want to praise Him. And if we aren't in that mindset that it's natural to praise Him, then maybe we've forgotten the God we serve. Maybe we've forgotten all the blessings that He continually bestows upon us every day, despite sometimes we're in a circumstance that is less than ideal. In Psalm 28 and verse 6, David said, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart exults and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him." So he has this progression. He says, "The Lord has heard my voice. He has given me strength. My heart trusts in Him. I am helped." And so what's the result? "With my song I give thanks to Him." The natural response. So how much more then should we, as beneficiaries of something even better, Jesus Himself, the Son of God, shouldn't we be singing and giving thanks to Him? In fact, we could classify singing as one of those spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, when he says, "Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge His name." Peter even describes us as priests today, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. Again, it should be our natural response. But if we're not careful, then we might be guilty of offering a defiled service regarding our singing. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1, God talks about defiled sacrifices. He says, "Offering polluted food upon my altar, and you say, 'How have we polluted you?' By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifices, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor?" says the Lord of hosts. Then just a few verses later in verse 12, he says, "You profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept it from your hand, says the Lord. Well, what about that part that says what a weariness this is? There's an opportunity to sing praise to God. Is that ever a weariness? I mean, would we ever say such a thing? I don't know that they necessarily voiced that, but God says, this is what I see in your heart. When we're singing our praises to God, what does God see in my heart? Does he see that I'm just going through the motions and just waiting for the next song or the next section of the service? Does he see that I'm unwilling to gather for something that would be a special service that is focused on singing those praises to him? Have I decided that it's all a weariness, and so then all that I offer him in that regard is polluted? Let us not defile our service to God. We're very familiar with Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, that tell us that we are to teach and we are to admonish one another, yes, even through song, through the words that we sing. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, we tend to call all of our songs hymns, but we've already identified that hymns were something specific that was praise. So he's giving actually some classifications of different singing, and we see that within our hymnals. We open them up and we sing some songs that are focused entirely on praise to God. We sing some songs that are focused primarily on that teaching and admonishing one another, encouraging one another in one regard or another. And we have others that are using the psalms that were written before time and bringing those to music in order for us to sing them now. Ephesians 5:19, we are to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. But our singing is not just directed toward God. It's directed toward each other as well. Teaching and admonishing us to live properly, to make our calling and election sure, to focus our minds and focus our lives on God, enjoying the blessings of the Christian life and expressing that with a thankful attitude. So then congregational singing could also be congregational teaching. Singing is a way to encourage our brethren and to be encouraged ourselves. And if we do it properly, with the right attitude and with the right heart, I'm not talking about singing the right notes. When I say properly, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with the right purpose, with the right mindset, with the right heart, it becomes this wonderful blessing. And so with that thought, you know, how do we get more out of it? How do we make the best use of it? There is a time and a place for us to learn to sing a song better in terms of the music. Once in a while, we will gather together in order to practice a new song, those types of things. Primarily, that is so that when we are singing those songs together in our assemblies, that we're not having to spend our time and our energy thinking about the notes and how to sing together with those. We can focus on the words and what we are singing. But understand that you must engage your mind. You can't just kind of zone out and sing the words and just keep going, oh, I've sang this song 1,000 times, maybe many thousands of times. I don't even need to give it thought. No, no, no. You need to give it thought. You must engage the mind. No matter how many times you've sang, Jesus loves me, think about those words. Very simple song that we teach to our kids. Somehow we stop singing it when we get older. It's got an important message in it. It's something I can think about, something I can focus on that is important. So we must understand what we sing. We had another sister in Berlin. She was kind of a, I don't know how to describe it other than to say she's kind of a word nut or a dictionary nut. You know, she liked looking up words and would always be looking up things. And I don't even remember what word it was, but we had a word in a song that she didn't understand. And she went and looked it up, and the definition really didn't make much sense in terms of what the song was. And she comes back and she says, "We keep singing this song with this word in it, and I can't figure out what we're saying." Oh, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? To be singing a song that is intended to teach and admonish one another and encourage one another, yet we don't know what we're saying? That doesn't work. We have to understand what we are saying. And so, if we ever sing a song within the assembly that you don't understand what the message is, we need to talk about that song. If we ever sing a song in the assembly that maybe you need to spend some time thinking about in order to understand it, then take it home and read it and read it through. Read those words. Forget the music. Read the words. Engage your mind in what you are singing. Because only when we engage our mind can we also then engage our heart. You cannot engage your heart singing something that you do not understand. It doesn't work. When we sing, we are to do so with thankfulness in our hearts, making melody in our hearts. Again, we're not talking about the notes. You know, having a book of songs that have written music to them is relatively new to the Lord's church. What do you think they did in the first century when they sang psalms together? As far as I know, there was no written music whatsoever at that point. Now, could they have taught each other, you know, a tune that they put to it? Sure. But the idea of opening it up and seeing the notes and reading those notes and reading the words with it, that's only in the last couple of hundred years. And so we must make melody in our heart that has nothing to do with those notes that are written on the page. It has to do with the meaning that we're storing up within our heart. And that means that it involves our emotions. To say that I am having thankfulness in my heart or making melody in my heart means there's necessarily some emotion involved. I'm not saying that we have to be ruled by emotions, and I'm not necessarily saying that there's anything wrong with not showing emotion as we sing. But there's nothing wrong with showing that emotion either. But only God knows whether you're engaged in the heart and have those emotions within you. You see, if we begin singing without emotion, without that thankfulness and making melody in our hearts, well, it becomes evident. Proverbs 15:13, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed." Matthew 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" What's really impactful to me is when I realize that I can do that very thing by singing and not meaning it. That means my heart is far from God, even though I'm voicing something to Him. And so as we sing, we do so with the emotions of the heart, the understanding of the mind. Look for ways to make your singing better. Yeah, there's value in practicing a song, but that's minuscule compared to understanding the song and meaning the words of that song. But when we think about evaluating our singing, let me ask you, These songs that we sing together, do you ever sing them outside of the assembly? When you're working around the house, working in the yard? Things trigger my mind so easily. And I'm already musically inclined, so music tends to be associated with a lot of things for me. I can go all the way back to childhood, and I would listen to music while doing certain things, so much so that if that song comes on the radio today, which would only be on the oldies station, But if it comes on the radio, immediately my mind is triggered and I'm thinking about what I was doing when I was listening to that, you know, whether it was studying, whether it was, you know, playing a game, whatever it might have been at the time. Those things are linked within my mind. Now, just imagine if we could utilize that same thing and link thoughts about God and our songs put together. And so maybe instead of that country western song that you're fond of, that you might sing all the time, how about we substitute a few songs that are centered on God? I used to, when I had my print shop, have a radio set up near the press, and I would put on recordings of congregational singing, and I would sing along with them. There's a number of songs that I never knew before that I learned simply from listening to them and then trying to sing along with it. And there were times in which I had some difficult days. Sometimes I had some really long days. And just putting that on changed it all for me. Because I'm not thinking about how much, you know, I've wasted a bunch of ink and paper today trying to get this job to print right. I'm not thinking about how I'm having to work an 18-hour day today. I'm not thinking about any of that stuff anymore because those songs have changed what my mind is focused on. So utilize that to put your mind on God outside of the assemblies as well. Do you take an opportunity to sing with others? Once in a while, we gather together in order to maybe have a meal together at someone's house, and we might sing a few songs together. Do you utilize that opportunity? It's not a worship service, but it is an opportunity to still engage our minds and our hearts toward God. Singing, like prayer, ought to be spontaneous, arising whenever a circumstance calls for it, whenever we can benefit from it. So again, Paul and Silas in the middle of the prison, prayer, you might think of, that's absolutely appropriate. God, please get us out of here. God, please release us from these bonds that we can go back to work for you. But along with those prayers was the singing. And while a prayer can be impactful for those that hear it, those that were listening in that prison, I have to wonder if it might have been more impactful for them to hear them singing in the midst of that circumstance. Because that doesn't make sense to the one who's not a believer. The one who's not a believer says, how can you sing when you're in such terrible circumstances? Whereas the believer says, how could I not? I'm blessed. I'm truly blessed. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Maybe if singing has lost its meaning to you, if the songs that we sing have become rote and there's really no emotion involved anymore, go back to the heart. Cultivate the heart in such a way that we want to praise him and that we want to think about him and that we want to sing to him and to each other. Remember, you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart. It means that all of it is dedicated and attuned toward him. And if we do that, there will most certainly be emotion in your singing. When it comes time to praise the Lord, it should not be done half-heartedly. No, it should be complete, so that we do not do so in vain. I came across this quote stating, it is a great sign of mediocrity to praise always moderately. Do we give it our all? Do we give all of our heart and all of our soul to God? Or are we just trying to ride the middle? Because if we're just trying to ride the middle, what are we offering God? Mediocrity. That's all it is. Let me ask you this. You and your spouse decide, let's go out to eat. And you're deciding where to go to eat. And amongst that discussion, if you're like Audrey and myself, we talk a little bit about where we've been before. Well, this restaurant was good, this restaurant wasn't that good. Imagine if your spouse said, this restaurant we went to before was really mediocre, let's go there. Are you excited to go? Somebody says, it's really mediocre, do you want to go? No, you want to go somewhere that's good and worth paying money for, worth your time, that you will enjoy. Maybe we need to think about that in terms of our worship to God as well. And I'm going to make this statement. We're not talking about whether you can sing well, okay? I don't care if you can hold a tune or not. The beauty of the songs that we sing are not contained within the music. Can music help? Sure, it does. Mike led some great songs this morning that are written in such a way that they combined with the words to create an emotion. That's something God gave us too. He gave us a talent for music, an appreciation for music, and we can utilize that. That's wonderful. But that's not the purpose of our singing. Let's face it. With the exception of a really, really small number amongst those in the church, none of us are professional singers. We're not going to sound like, you know, one of the great opera singers. It's just not going to happen. And so if we decide, well, because I can't sing well, I'm just not going to. No, that's the wrong thought. That's the wrong thought. Maybe we should think, God's not listening to how well I can sing, but to how much I'm offering my heart to Him. Singing must involve the mind and the heart. With that in mind, I'll just make this caution. We need to be careful about introducing new songs into our worship services. They need to be songs that aren't going to be distracting, that are not going to make us spend our time thinking about, well, how does this tune go, and what's the note that I've got to sing there, and what's this marking mean, when we're supposed to be thinking about the words that we're offering. So again, there are times in which we practice those songs so that we might then later on introduce them into the worship without that distracting nature. But ultimately, the responsibility regarding singing is an individual responsibility. Something every single one of us has to take seriously. And I'll make one last offer of a suggestion regarding improving your singing. Don't sit alone. And don't sit far apart. And I'm not saying that just because we can make better harmony when we're close to each other. We recently lost our dear sister, Shirley McCoy. And if there's one thing that's going to stick in my mind with Shirley, it was how much she loved to sing. And when we would practice songs, she would come up to the front and sit with other people, and I would see her discussing the songs with other people and just really enjoying the opportunity to sing with the saints. You might find a little more emotion in your singing if you spend time engaging with one another in that singing. So, we're going to have song service tonight. Let's make an effort to maybe close in the gaps a little bit. Get a little closer to everybody. And be encouraged by each other. Psalm 104, verse 33 says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Let's place the importance that it ought to have. But all of that begins with something that's a little bit earlier in the process, if you will. talking about the heart turned toward God, we must begin with a relationship to God. If you have not been obedient to the gospel, that is, that you have not dedicated your whole life, made a confession of your faith in Jesus, repented of sin in your life, and been baptized for the remission of sins, then you need to seriously consider what state your life is in. Because without the blood of Jesus, whom we have the benefit of when we obey Him and do all of those things, we are lost. We are separated from God. And if we die in that state, that separation becomes eternal. And that's a terrible state to be in. If you are a child of God, but maybe you've gone astray, or maybe you've been weak and you realize that you really need some assistance in strengthening yourself, some encouragement, some prayers of the brethren, then we offer our assistance in that regard as well. Because we do care for one another. We do have, yes, emotion toward one another. But it's deeper than what the world knows. It's much deeper. It's a deep love for one another that we learn from God through Jesus Christ. And so if we can help you, number 833 has been chosen as our invitation song. If you'd like to take advantage of that invitation, simply come to the front while we stand and while we sing.